to be in your presence. That's where I want to be.
Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm not going to go through all the review of the whole manual and how the what the traits, some of the traits are that you have to, for the narcissistic personality disorder. We're not trying to label anyone or trying to diagnose anyone. A lot of these people that live in your lives will never be diagnosed, but you're going to see some of the traits. And then some of the traits you might see in yourself. And you need the right tools, and you need, sometimes you have to, if you didn't get it through your parents or through your education, your training, whatever, you got to learn how. If you have no empathy, boy, that's a big one. You have got to learn empathy, because without empathy, this is what turns people into narcissism. They're bullies. They really don't care how you feel. It's all about them, which we've talked a lot about. But here in 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Now today we call this narcissism, and because there's such an epidemic and it's a worldwide problem, they're saying they're going to eliminate narcissism from these manuals, from the personality disorder disease. Now, this is really sad to me, because if you don't know what that problem is, you don't know how to help yourself, and you don't also know how to give the other person tools to help themselves if they get to that place. And we've talked about the spectrum. There is a huge spectrum, and this is why it's very, very hard to know if you're dealing with someone that is a narcissist, because there's autism, there's quite a spectrum, and then there's overt, covert types. So there's, you know, I share that, like, you all have a belly button, some's an innie, some's an outie, right? So the innies are the covert. That means they're very, very subtle, and actually they're the most dangerous, because they're so manipulative that sometimes it's so subtle and you don't even really know what you're dealing with. So we're going to go in through a couple things about, is the abusive person I'm dealing with a narcissist? Now, some abusive people are just jerks. There's always going to be, always will be. Like I shared last week, my dad was not a narcissist, but he was drinking, he was violent, he was abusive. And there are people that are abusive, and because of alcohol, drugs, or whatever, it alters them. And, you know, they're comforting themselves. They're trying to soothe themselves with their addictions. But how do you know that doesn't help? And the hardest thing, I think, is facing, if you're dealing with a narcissist, it's hard, but on the other hand, like I was talking to someone this morning, it becomes easier, because now you know you're not the crazy one. You know you're dealing with someone that has an attachment disorder. We talked about that last week. They're not properly attached to one of their parents, probably. And because of that, the attachment isn't there. Now they have a hard time attaching with other relationships. Okay, so if you're dealing with them, if they're your parents, and today I'm going to talk a lot about parents, narcissistic parents, and the effects they do have on their children. Because if you have children with a narcissist, no matter what, your children are in trouble. They're going to have some real problems with low self-esteem. They're going to have a problem with being validated, having their opinions expressed, because a lot of these things in these homes, it's a lot of dysfunction and a lot of secrets. The image is really important, so everything looks great, but there's no love, there's no respect, there's no validating, and there's no nurturing. And for us to grow in healthy homes, we need to be nurtured and taken care of. And that's absent from people that are basically, you know, a lot of us are baby boomers. Our parents weren't there. We weren't nurtured. We weren't taken care of. It comes to the point where you got to stop blaming whoever that is and just know, this is the way it is. This is the way it was, and I'm going on from here. Because self-pity is where a lot of people stay. And if you stay stuck in any of these realms, you're not going to grow. And as if we don't grow, we can't help the next generation grow through this. So here it talks about they're going to be lovers of their own selves. Read the rest of it. We really don't have time. But lovers of self, today we'd call it narcissism. Some of you have been parented by narcissists, dated them. You've been pastored by them. Next week we're going to talk about the leaders in the church and the symptoms of narcissism in a leader or in a church. How can you tell? There's signs. There's patterns that go along with this. And some of you are married to them. How do you deal with it? Some people decide to stay, and then other people decide to go. And this is the problem I see with a lot of people in the church, because they don't know that this disorder is even around. They don't get any comfort from the church. like last week someone was telling me that they went to, their friend went to a pastor and said, what do I do? My husband goes to the strip clubs and he's this and that. And just love him, pray for him more. Just, it's always the wife's fault. Instead of, if you don't have knowledge of what this is, you have no way to really help people. You're just going to be another wound to them because you're not giving them any solutions, and you just make that poor wife or husband, because there is no gender in this, you're going to make them feel less than, that they have to do more, more hoops they have to go through, instead of putting up boundaries and saying, no, your behavior has to change or I'm leaving. Behavior is very important because God didn't call us to be in abusive relationships or to be the abuser in a relationship. So you have to know the emotional abuse that comes along with this. And if you've lived with narcissists, you know the emotional abuse. You know the fear of their anger. You have to walk in eggshells. And you also know the smear campaigns. What a smear campaign is, when you stand up against them because of their fragile ego, that they will make a series of lies and gossip to bring you down and make them themselves look good. In fact, a narcissist actually said to me, he said, I will destroy you. And I say that in the fear of God. I couldn't believe that was coming out of this person's mouth. First of all, why would you want to destroy someone? Because you made them look bad. And I didn't understand narcissism back in the day. But now once you see it and you see the pattern and you see they can't handle criticism, they can't handle not controlling and manipulating, they can't handle certain things. So if you stand up to them and you, you know, voice your opinion or you stand against what they're, all of a sudden now you're the enemy and you face their rage. Now, a lot of people, they're so unhealthy, they don't want to go through that. So what happens is they're always cowering. They're always, and you know what? You become an enabler and you're not helping that person. By always agreeing with them, by being underneath their control, giving them all they want, you're not living a full life and you're also enabling them to continue their very dysfunctional behavior. Does that make sense? So why all of a sudden are you their enemy? Because they hate being disobeyed. They don't like being questioned or criticized because of their detachment, probably with one of their parents or what. There's different reasons. They have a very fragile ego, and they really have a problem. Even though they come off super confident, they're very, very insecure. So the thing I want to say when we start off this, don't worry about exposing these people. Don't, you know, because if you find one, you want to expose them, you want to, fake people and liars always expose themselves. And you just have to say, I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to do what I need to do. If you've come out of a relationship and you've gotten under the smear, until you've experienced it, you really don't know what we're talking about. But if you've ever been part of a smear campaign, all of a sudden, all these rumors go around about you, and you know, it's just total lies and gossip, and you just have to forget that and go on. You just have to get, and if your friends believe the lies of someone like this, they really weren't your friend. So, is the difficult person in your life a narcissist? Now remember, there is a spectrum. I shared this last week, but I want to go through it again. Number one, they're very self-absorbed. All they think about is themselves. Now, this is a personality disorder. It's not normal behavior. But because we're living in an age of narcissism now, it's an epidemic, and this is the new normal. So we have to know how to deal with this on our jobs, in our relationships, maybe our brothers or sisters. It's happening in different places. But they're very self-absorbed. They act like everything is always about her or him. It's always about them. They're emotionally detached. They stay clear of feelings. They're entitled. They make the rules and then they break the rules. They put you down. That's the one thing, is you can never please someone that has this personality disorder because they're not happy on the inside themselves. So they're like black holes. And they put you down and they're very bullish. Like last week I talked about the face of the bull, mean narcissist. They're demanding. They demand whatever they want. And if you're being controlled by one, they expect you to give it to them. They're perfectionistic. They have rigid, high standards that must be done. Everything's got to be done their way. They're snobbish. They believe they're superior to you and others. And the other thing about them with the they get bored very easily. Approval seeking. They crave and praise recognition. Now, we all like praise and to be complimented, but people that have this disorder they crave it. They have to be seen. They have to be the prettiest. They have to, it's this thing that's not normal. Now remember, narcissism is extreme self-love. And it's uninterested in understanding your feelings and your needs. This is the biggest thing in most of the personality disorder. There's no empathy. And like I shared last week, if there's one thing we can do, especially if your grandparents now and whatever, teach your children or teach your grandchildren empathy. Teach them to care about how other people feel, because these people don't care. They can hurt you. They can run you over. That's why they make great CEOs. They don't care who they have to fire. They'll fire whoever they have to next. People are like paper towels. Use them, throw them away. Their agenda is very important. So you have to know they have no empathy. That is not normal to not have empathy. But because of their childhood and because of the way they were raised, they weren't shown it. And if they weren't shown it, or if they saw it in a parent, they modeled it. And it became their life and their reality. And that's how they function. Then they're unremorseful. A lot of times if they hurt you and you confront them, you might get a fake apology. I'm sorry if this hurt you. Rather, it's not, they're not really sorry, but they're sorry they got caught. Then there's a lot of addictiveness and compulsive behavior. They always know it all. They always seem like some of these type of narcissists, they always, no matter what your story is, they've always got one better. There's always one up. And another real big thing with all these people is there's intimacy issues. You know, that word intimacy means into me see. They don't know how to have connections. Because of the detachments that they've had in their life, and they weren't attached properly, maybe to one of their parents, and the other one was maybe an enabler or whatever. You know, we all have lived in dysfunction. But they have intimacy trust. They don't trust. They have a big problem with trusting people and trusting their mate, or it comes back down to really trusting God. Real problem with trusting God. They have a little capacity for listening, caring, or understanding. Now that is the difficult person in your life a narcissist? Now today I want to talk about the parents. We're going to continue where we left off in the narcissistic family, which is painful. If you've lived in one or become a part of one, it's very, very painful, because if you're the healthy parent in that marriage, you want your kids not to feel the pain or the wounds from the abusive parent. But guess what? They will be affected. So if you know how they're affected, today we want to give you some tools to help the kids so that they can overcome in life and to know what they're really, really dealing with. Once you know with what you're dealing with, a lot of times the mystery goes away, the confusion goes away, all the condemnation goes away, and you start seeing that this is really an issue, and now I have the tools that I need to help me go forward. Because we don't want to just keep spinning our wheels and going nowhere and just blaming this person and it's all their fault. It doesn't, you know, to feel sorry for ourselves. We have to get back up. Amen? So in Ephesians 6:4, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." In other words, don't stir up. Don't make them angry on purpose. Colossians 3:21, "Lest what? They be discouraged." Having a narcissistic parent, you're never enough. The kid, because the other person, the mate they're married to, is never enough, and then now the kids are never going to be enough. So there's always, you know, and sometimes they pick one child over the other one. The one child's the golden child, the other one we talked about is the scapegoat and the black sheep. They can do nothing wrong. So there's this dysfunction and pitting against each other, even in their families. Now think about that, because it's not discussed, it comes into the churches. And unfortunately, we have a lot of pastors that are narcissistic. They have a lot of traits of narcissism, and the abuse continues. So if you've had an abusive father, you gravitate towards an abusive pastor. So we're going to talk about that next week. But the Bible says, "Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Now, to nurture someone, it comes from that word nurse. You care for them. You encourage them. You give attention to them. Now, narcissists, because everything's about them, especially in what I'm thinking about right now is a narcissistic father, they have no time for their kids. Because what they do outside of the family is usually more important. And because they want to be famous or they want success, whatever it might be, the biggest problem in that family is going to be neglect. Neglect of the mate and neglect of the children. Now, neglect is abuse. Did you know that? And if you don't have time for your children, don't have them. Just don't have them, okay? Because they, God tells us that we have to nurture them. Now, the opposite of nurturing is to discourage or neglect or frustrate or hinder them. So, you know, kids in itself, it's a job being a parent, and none of us have done it perfectly, and we all do the best we can, but we look back and think, well, I could have done that better. But sometimes when you're in survival mode and you're going through things, you don't realize that maybe, you know, this got slipped up or that got let go, but our goal is to nurture them. And some families, they're like combat zones where they receive no love, no respect, no understanding. I was talking to a narcissist now that I know it is one, and they said, I don't know what love is. I love by faith. No feelings, not knowing how to love. How sad that is. So if the parent doesn't know how to love, the child is not going to receive any kind of affection and care. And a lot of narcissists, you know, there's different times, there's different kinds, that's why it's hard to just say this is it. But because they think love is weakness, especially men, they will teach their boys, don't hold hands, don't hug, this is wrong, don't be affectionate, that's for the sissies, you know. Where that's actually a very secure man can love his son or his daughter. That's what they need. And when they know that's healthy and that's good, they're going to go looking for that in their mate. But if they were distanced, if they were neglected, if they were shown no emotions, guess what? They end up marrying that type of person because that's normal to them. So they receive no respect. And some very important to have respect. And narcissist families look great from the outside because they're more concerned about impressing people outside the home than impressing those who live within it. Some narcissist parents have no interest in their children at any age. A lot of narcissists don't like children. They see them as a hindrance and as a burden. That's not true with all of them. Some of them like them when they can impress them, that they can be getting their supply from that child. The problem is if there's no boundary set, I'm thinking of a mother here right now, that child becomes an extension of them. She won't let them grow up. She won't let them make their own opinions. Everything, you know, she's very critical of that daughter of hers. And the children's feelings and emotions are ignored. And some get favoritism and get the best of everything. Now, if you do the study on this, it's called the golden child, and the put-downs get, and the criticism are the scapegoat child. But let me give you some characteristics here of a narcissistic parent. The characteristics of a narcissistic parent, they cause friction and rivalry between the children. Normal, healthy parents want your kids to get along. They fight enough as it is. But narcissistic parents, they pit them against each other. They do it on purpose. They compare one child to the other, and they treat the children differently. They never acknowledge your achievements, your wants, your needs, your feelings, or your opinions. What does this do to a child that is not allowed to talk, that is not allowed to voice his feelings, that whenever dad comes in, all of a sudden everybody's freaked out and scared and eggshells, and no one's allowed to talk because or the queen showed up, you know, that this person comes in, and now there's this freezing that happens. The emotions and the kids all of a sudden feel invisible. They're not allowed to be themselves. That's one thing you can tell when you're around an abusive person. You're not allowed to be yourself. They will, and this is to get your power back, don't let them define you. You be who you are. Learn who you are. Learn to get boundaries. Learn to say, I'm not going to accept. When they yell and scream, I'm hanging up. Or I'm going to walk away. You allow the behavior they have towards you, what you accept and what you don't accept. So you have to put that boundary up, and you have to say, I'm not going to accept this yelling. I'm not going to accept this kind of behavior. You can talk to yourself. You have to put a boundary up, and then you have to enforce the boundary. Because we can all put up boundaries until they're tested. And then we're like, okay, I give in. It doesn't help the person, and it doesn't help you. And plus, other people are watching you to see how you act, so they're going to model you in their marriages, right? They never acknowledge your achievements. Like if it's a father with a son, he never quite played good enough in that basketball. He never did quite, you know, it's never quite enough because you're less than. And they have to put themselves in that superior position to feel better about themselves. So we're dealing with a very, very insecure person here that projects themselves as very secure, very confident. Sometimes they're very outspoken, and then the covert is very shy. The shy is the old Eeyore type, always feel sorry for me, poor me. That's still attention seeking, and it's narcissism, because what? Now you're trying to play the sympathy card, and you're giving all your attention because you feel sorry for them. And feeling sorry for a narcissist gives them power over you. We can sympathize, but we don't feel sorry. Boy, and I'm telling you, some I'm thinking of right now, they're the easiest to feel sorry for. And you always enable them, and then you're always giving them an excuse, but they're always playing the victim card because the victim card works really good on you. In a real true narcissist, they're going to make you feel less than. There's a smugness about them. There's just something like, I'm a little bit better than you. You're never good enough, no matter what you do. And this is why you have to see the problem is in them, and you have to say, I'm okay by myself. I'm where God has got me. You know, you have to feel good about yourself. Not that we can't improve, but don't let someone define you, because you're never going to please them. They can't be pleased. So if you understand that, you lower your expectations and you lower your heart always being broken. Okay, does that make sense? They have unreasonable demands. They're very controlling, critical. And then what they do to punish you is they withhold love and affection. That is abusive. Mm-hmm. Do you know that? When you you give someone the silent treatment and until they, all these things are very toxic red flags. And if you're dating someone like this, run. Now, if you're married to them, you're going to have a lot of things you got to work out. And nobody can tell you that. The Holy Spirit's got to help you. And you need to develop tools. And you need to know if you're dealing with a narcissistic parent, they get worse as they age. Because they have less, they want to control you more because they can do less and less. So you have to put up stronger boundaries. And there's certain things you have to do. But I want you to see in the narc parents, your children are going to be affected because they're neglected or they're abused or they were the special child where they're entitled, that they feel like they're the princess, they're the queen. Blames the child when things go wrong. So makes them feel they can't win. In other words, some kids just feel like, I can never please dad. I'll never get his love. So just why try? Some of them go the other extreme. Some of them isolate, move out of the house at a very, very young age to get away from that feeling of, I just can't measure up. I'm never going to be good enough. Dad's so critical. Dad's got his own issues. And this is what you have to see. Or mom has, or their own issues. It's all about their needs. And true narcissistic person, a lot of times the children don't matter. Maintaining their image is what matters. Now, a covert parent, that's the subtle one, always plays the victim, wanting your sympathy, self-absorbed. They can't handle criticism. Now, none of us like it. Oh, you did this wrong in that way. But these type of people fall apart. They cannot handle it, and they get very angry. They're unable to handle criticism because they're so frail. Judgmental, and they're very, very critical. Behind people's backs, they're very, very judgmental. They might be really sweet to their face, but you hear what they really think about everyone. And that's not normal, to be critical and to be judgmental of everybody. The key here with a covert is always playing the poor me card. Then shifts the blame. What happens? It's always your fault. It's always your fault. The trouble with in signs of emotional abuse here in the children, I want to give you what happens now when you have children and you're dealing with, now you're starting to see the abuse from that son or from that daughter. You're starting to see, wow, she's starting to act like mom. She's starting to act like dad, because they develop traits. Doesn't mean sometimes they are narcissists, but because of the traits, and you might have some from your parents, you want to get the right tools and just say, I don't want to be like this. I don't want everything to be about me. I want to be able to be empathetic. I want to be able to validate my children. I want to love them where they are. I want to be able to listen to them. I want to be able to understand them. And thank God we can change at any age, right? They suffer. The kids are going to suffer. And this is a thing I've seen a lot. Because you're never good enough for that parent, the child suffers with low self-esteem. Now, if you had a parent that loved you and gave you unconditional love, you are blessed beyond measure. You got confidence, you got security at a young age. Most people in this day and hour don't get it. Their parents were alcoholics, they were divorced. Now you're going to see more and more, we're going to see this in churches, because there's more and more divorce in churches. And the kids are more and more narcissistic. They have an entitlement. You know, I deserve this phone. I deserve whatever I want. I deserve a new car. I'm so-and-so. And so now we're going to deal with this heavily in churches. And if we don't know what it is, we're not going to know how to give them the right tools to help them mature, to develop, because they're going to feel very, very unvalued. When your feelings have never been valued, that it's okay to cry, it's okay to be mad. Maybe they have an opinion, you don't agree with it, but you can at least let them voice their opinion. In some homes, you're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to disagree. So they're going to suffer from self-doubt. And then what happens when you're under this kind of abuse, you become a people pleaser. And we're going to share that a couple more weeks, which you don't want anyone mad. You just want to make everybody happy. You just want to please everybody. And you say yes when you mean no. And then what happens? You have this resentment on the inside because you want to say no, but yes came out. You don't stand up for yourself. Don't lose your self-respect. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand up, even if you have to pay the price. You've got to learn to stand up for yourself. These kids don't. They become, in the narcissistic world, they call them flying monkeys. They become controlled by the narcissist. They're an extension of that narcissist. And now they're just people pleasers. They just do whatever that narcissist says. Even though they know it's wrong, they don't want to rock the boat, or they're getting paid, or whatever the situation might be. And these children will have problems in their marriages and all their adult relationships, because if they weren't attached properly, now if we're talking about attachment disorders, if they have attachment disorders, they don't know how to connect. They don't know how to be healthy. They don't know what is healthy. So they mirror what they saw, which is maybe the silent treatment. Mom and Dad didn't talk for 2 weeks, so that's what I'm going to do. This one preacher was counseling somebody, and she hit her husband over the head with a frying pan. And he says, "You can't do this anymore to your husband." She goes, "Well, that's what Mom always did to Dad." Says, "No, that's wrong behavior." But we mirror what we see, right? And we start acting like our parents again. So they have problems in their adult relationships. They're afraid of being attached. They're afraid of intimacy. How sad when these people, they don't know what intimacy is, so they don't want to be intimate. They fear rejection and they fear abandonment, so they reject you or they abandon you first. And this is a thing in the church. People are not going to always meet our needs. People aren't always going to be who you expect them to be. They're going to be flawed. They're going to have problems. Don't just reject people because there's a flaw. Thank God he doesn't reject us because we have a flaw. We're all flawed. You know that? So what happens with these children, they bottle up their anger. There's all this push down anger. They weren't allowed to be angry at home. And now they have this, you know, and all of a sudden they're passive aggressive, and then all of a sudden everything's fine, and then one day they just blow up. They can't, because they pushed it down so long, they don't know how to normally communicate before it reaches that point. Because everybody has a point where, you know, that's it. And don't let yourself stay in communications. But these people, you won't even know they're mad, you won't know they're upset, but then one day they have a volcano attack. St. Helens has erupted. And you don't even know what you did wrong because they weren't honest along the way. So when things bug you, you gotta be honest. They always were blamed for when things got wrong, so now they have anxiety issues. You see this a lot with kids. Their parents were so hard on them that they have anxiety. They're stressed out. They worry about everything. They weren't covered properly. So they're afraid of everything, afraid of finances, afraid of a job. There's so much fear. But if that father and mother would have came in and protected that child when they could have, it would have eliminated a lot of stress and trouble for the, not that we don't have our own, but I'm just saying the way God had originally planned it. The other thing, if you have a true narcissistic parent, there's something you got to realize. You are never going to have the support, the validation, and the love that you that a lot of people you see have in healthy relationships because they don't know how to give it. And I came to my day. My dad wasn't a narcissist, but he was an abuser. I just realized Dad's never going to love. He's never going to love me. He doesn't know how to love. But I have to love him anyway. But that didn't mean that you go in, you become a doormat. It doesn't mean you become a punching bag. So I want to share that next. So much to get in here. How do I honor a narcissistic parent? I see this a lot in the churches where they say, well, you know, the Bible says I got to honor them, so I just got to do whatever they say. And there's also two sides to this in Scripture. There's what the parent is supposed to do, but then there's also what the child is supposed to do, okay? Now, Exodus 20:12, it says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long on the earth. Now, in Ephesians 4, fathers, I shared this, but in the Amplified, I like it a little better. Don't irritate and provoke your children to anger. They're not following God, and it's not God's will for mean, jerky dads to make you abused and be hard on you. It says, then they'll be exasperated them to resentment. In Colossians 3:21 in the Amplified, fathers, do not provoke or irritate. Don't be hard on them or harass them, lest they become discouraged and sullen and feel inferior and frustrated. Do not break their spirit. So if you have a parent that's doing that, you can't just treat them like all is well. You're going to have to set some boundaries up. You're going to have to put some distancing. You're going to have to, what will you and will not allow in your relationships, right? Parents are not to abuse, harm. What does that mean, abuse? It means to misuse. Those children are not there for you to abuse them. They're not there for you to misuse them or for them to be an extension of you. And now there's no way they can ever, some people can never say no to their parents. I don't care how old they are. Oh, mom will get mad. Let her get mad. You're 50 years old. To honor means to respect them, to appreciate them. It doesn't say tolerate abuse and be their doormat, be their punching bag, right? To tolerate abuse is not honorable. That is not honoring your parents. To tolerating no boundaries is not honorable. When you tell them no and they, mom, you can't come over today, I'm busy, and they come over anyway, they don't know boundaries, they don't know the word no. What are you supposed to do in those situations? Every situation is different, but you have to know, sometimes I have to distance myself from this parent. Why? They're unhealthy. They're abusive. Every time I go there, I spin out for 2 weeks. What they told me, they hurt me. Never go to those kind of parents with your personal problems. Why? Because they'll manipulate and control, and then later on, this is how unhealthy they are, they will use it to attack you. So don't always be available. Distance yourself. In other words, refuse to be manipulated. That is, you can still respect your parents. I love you, mom. I appreciate you. But not today. Bye. And if you know they're calling and you don't want their drama, don't answer the phone. Right? Don't discuss personal things with them. Sometimes and if you're unfortunately married to a narcissist, they don't really care about your day. They don't really care how you feel. All they're going to want to talk about is their day and how they feel. So what do? You have to lower your expectations. And you have to realize, you know what? I need other friends in my life that really care about me. Isn't that sad? But that's the way it is because they're totally into themselves. I'm going to kind of close down here with this. But parenting and divorce. When you have to divorce a narcissist, and I'm saying this to help people, you will know if they're narcissistic once you divorce them because all hell will break loose and they will want to destroy you and they will use the children. You raised those children. They were your kids, but now in the divorce, they're going to use them as pawns against you. And if that's the course that you feel led to go, you have to know what's up ahead. And you have to do a lot of research, and you have to also be prepared. And sometimes people just get out with their own sanity. But some of them, you know, you're stronger, you have a good support system. You have to know there is warfare when you divorce a narcissist or you leave a narcissist church, because they don't like to be left. So you're going to really face a lot of persecution, a lot of lies, you're the bad person, blah, blah, blah. You're crazy. You're not crazy, you see through them. They do not like to be seen through. So they don't like to go get counseling, because if they get counseling and the counselor gets this, it takes their power away, what do? They attack the counselor. Cooperation, compromise, and teamwork, not part of their vocabulary. A true narcissist doesn't know how to mentor. A father that has children doesn't know how to take time to spend with their kids to teach them the things that he doesn't have time for that. Why? He's too busy concerned about his reputation, his fame outside of the home or whatever. So you have to know these kids, they never put their kids' needs before their own. This is why the kids end up really unhealthy. The kids were never valued. They were never validated. It's so sad. But in a divorce, the children will be used as pawns to be manipulated and hurt you. And if they love to control the money. And boy, that's a battle in itself. They don't like looking bad. It's called, actually, in the world, narcissistic injury. They don't like being look bad. If you attack them in any way, all of a sudden you're the problem, because now they're injured. You've hurt them, and sometimes they need to be hurt. Trust me. But if you're on that side of it, you're the enemy. Now expect all hell to break loose. So they're going to lie and make you look bad. They want revenge, and they're going to try to alienate you from your children. Now this is demonic. Narcissistic parents, if you divorce them, they use your children against you, but now they make you choose which parent to alienate. Now, the kids don't need to go through that, but they're going to want to pretend that you're the evil one and they're the good one. And if they have money, a lot of times they pull it off, because the kids get manipulated by the money, and all of a sudden all their needs are met. The one that controls the money. So it's very sad, because a lot of good parents are fighting this battle to get their children back. They want chaos to prove you're crazy. They will edge you on, edge you on, edge you on. You finally call back angry. Now they tape that. Yeah. They didn't tell you what they did to get you to that point. Now they use that, and now you're the crazy one. Because see how sick this is. And it's unfortunate, but we're dealing with this so much in our world today. This isn't just a one in a, this is happening nonstop. If you want to help your children and validate them, now if they have a narcissist, this is what you've got to do. You've got to show unconditional love. No matter what your kids are going through, if you're the healthy parent, you've got to show them unconditional love and empathy. Let them express their opinions and their emotions. Let them have a voice. Because if they're around the manipulator, they have no voice. And this is what causes them to grow up, and they're so insecure, and they don't ever want to share their opinions because they've been shut down so much. Listen to them. Let them talk. Abuse is going to take toll on your kids. It's going to cause them stress. Lots of lack of confidence, low self-esteem. I think we can kind of close today. I'm not going to get to all this. I thought I'd get done with this, but I'm going to close this section out. Tips for adult children of narcissistic fathers. And I'm just going to close with these two lists. Anticipate when there will be conflict and practice remaining calm and keeping explanations simple. If you have a parent or someone that you're dealing with, you know it's going to be a conflict. Try to stay out of your emotions. Just learn how to step back and anticipate there's going to be conflict. Just stay calm. Learn about the personality type of the narcissistic parent and understand it's not your problem. There are so many YouTubes on this subject right now. Unfortunately, some of them throw the F-bombs in there. I don't like listening to those. I'm like, I'm not going to listen to these. But there's so much that you can educate yourself on. Is this a narcissistic parent? Am I married to a narcissistic person? They're all over. It's because it's exploding in this day. It's sad because sometimes if you go to marriage counseling and if someone doesn't know about narcissism, they're going to re-wound you. Because they're going to say it's all your fault. Because you can't outwin a narcissism in conflict. Most of the time, they're always going to win. Keep your expectations, if you have a parent, low. If you need to negotiate something with your narc parent, always begin with how it will benefit them. Isn't that sad? But because everything's about them, you have to let them know this is how it's going to benefit you. Set and maintain boundaries to lessen emotional and bullying interference. It's not okay if your parents are bullying you or if your wife or your husband is bullying. It's not okay. It's okay to say no to your father or your mother. Know when it's time to walk away to live healthy. Sometimes there is no hope. So I've seen this too where people are trying. The Christian one is helping. They're sick. Now they're to the point of where their emotions are shot. They have no confidence and they're getting physically ill. The stress that is put upon your body because you cannot ever please these people is tremendous. Maintain distance allows you to have a limited but better relationship with the narc parents. Sometimes you have to say, okay, I'm going to go there, but I'm going to go there for a few minutes. I'm going to say hi and bye. And, you know, you have to set your limits. Why? They're not normal people. Narcissism and narcissists always express a lot of times with money. They like to buy you, especially if it's a narc father. They don't give you them. They don't give you their time, but they'll give you their money. And the kids are crying inside, I want a relationship. But if it's a narcissist, you're going to have to lower that expectation and say, you know what, I'm going to have to believe God for a spiritual father, which many of us have had to do. Someone else that God will send in your life, and he does that, to meet some of your needs, because we have needs. But when you're raised in these kind of toxic families, you are not expected to have a need. Mm-hmm. You can't voice your needs. They do, but you can't. That's typical. So tips for the healthy parent in closing. Love your child unconditionally. Be a source of moral support. Model normal behavior as much as you can. Praise your child's independence and decision-making. Because they're insecure, they haven't been validated, they're going to doubt everything they do. You being the healthy parent, try to encourage them. Try to validate them. Allow them to make mistakes. Love them. Pick them back up. Acknowledge the abuse. Let them know there's abuse here. It's okay. Don't turn them against that parent. That's all they have. And this is the thing. Don't get into what they do. They use the children as pawns. You cause damage. You know, if they want to talk about it, sometimes the kids don't want to talk about it. Sometimes they don't even see it. But you do the best you can. Continue teaching them relationship etiquette. Keep trying to tell them, this is normal, this is not normal. And there's so many people that are in these situations. Lord, we just pray for wisdom. We pray for healing. Lord, many of us picked the wrong people in our lives to work with or to be with because we were abused as children and we had no self-value, or we gravitated toward another leader that treated us like our dad did, treated us like our mother did. So, Father, we just thank you for healing us, whatever level and stage of growth we're at. And we just pray, Father, no one to be discouraged, throw in the towel, think, oh, it's just not worth it. Father, we just thank you. Where there is a will, there is a way, because, Father, you enable us and you give us grace. And everyone said, amen. That was a lot of information.